Let's freaking go. Are you kidding me? I want to look at you right now because as much as I want to be excited about the future of LSU football, we did lose today. The best tight end in the history of Tigers football and Mason Taylor announcing officially that he's going into the NFL draft. Look, this is just the simple truth. We have to live with the fact that we did not go to a single playoff game with the best left tackle, the best tight end in LSU history. And overall, in the Brian Kelly regime, we did not go to the playoff with the best left tackle, best tight end, second best quarterback, second best Heisman Trophy winner statistically of the modern era, two first-round wide receivers. We couldn't go. We couldn't go. So it doesn't matter how excited you are about the future. It's that we will look back at this two-year stretch of LSU football and be like, how in the hell did we not even go to a single playoff game? And that is a massive disappointment. So Mason Taylor gone. I want to start this stream celebrating how good him and Will Campbell were. It's not going to get much better than those two guys. And that's two absolutely ginormous losses for this program. We also lost today Shelton Sampson, who is entering the transfer portal. And we also saw Kylan Jackson announce his intention to enter the transfer portal. The fact that these two guys basically never did anything with LSU is a shock because they were both South Louisiana guys. They were both top 150 recruits. They both had really good reputations in terms of their prospecting going into their LSU career, and they did nothing. Literally. Shelton Sampson did not catch a single pass. If I would have told you 2 years ago that Shelton Sampson, with a near bulletproof profile, top 100 Louisiana wide receiver, every single top 100 Louisiana wide receiver that goes to LSU from the state of Louisiana makes the NFL. Every single one of them. And that still could be the case in his next stop. But every single one of them, everyone went to the NFL. The fact that he never caught a pass. He played. So he's gone. I'm going to give you a few transfer portal names. I'll give you one right off the jump that I think LSU should pursue. Either one of the Kentucky wide receivers, because both of them are really good. Dane Key, I think, is the overall better receiver of the two. Barry and Brown, though, I think would be an awesome fit for LSU. Him and Aaron Anderson would work well together. Barry and Brown, more of your pure outside deep threat. Also a really good kickoff returner as well. That's if Aaron Anderson decides to come back. Regardless, I would go after both of them. I think they are really, really good football players. Also, Barry and Brown plays with a lot of bite. He has an attitude out there. Sometimes he could go over the line, but he's really good. I've been watching him his entire career, and he was a true freshman producer. So I do believe he could come in and be somebody for us. So look, I truly do believe that LSU football should be very active in this portal cycle for pass catchers. I do think they can be a little bit more patient because that position is a little bit more abundant. I do think, especially with Garrett Nussmeier returning as your quarterback, if he also announces that he's coming back, there are a lot of wide receivers that want to play with him. A lot. Okay. So look, you know, I've not seen the official Aaron Anderson announcement just yet. Maybe one of y'all could send it to me. I've looked at his Instagram a few times, and maybe I just overlooked it. I'm not the best at Instagram at all. So obviously that's going to be a priority, maybe priority number one, maybe outside of getting Emory Jones to come back. So we're going to talk about all of that today. Give me your biggest loss. Our poll question, who of these three are the biggest loss? Shelton Sampson, Kylan Jackson, and Jordan Allen. Let's get to it.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. Power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field.
So, what is up? PHL Nation, LSU Nation, NIL Nation. I'm an overall positive person. We're going to talk about quite a few things. Now, as always, you get bonus content on our Patreon. There was one weird, but not so weird, connection between most of LSU's lower rated recruits, and I don't think it was a mistake. I thought it was very interesting, so you can learn about that on Patreon. And guess what? If you sign up from this stream, I'm giving you your first month free, and I'm sending you a Joe Burrow card. The link is down below, and if you decide you don't like it, guess what? You can cancel, so you're getting a free Joe Burrow card. That's how badly I want you to listen to it. And it also helps feed my family. So I've been getting a lot of questions about different portal players, and Micah Hudson is actually one that I've gotten quite a bit of questions about. He was a five-star receiver. Look, the On3 and 247s of the world have done a really good job at evaluating wide receivers. So if you're a five-star receiver, more than likely you're going to produce. More than likely you're going to be good. And Micah Hudson definitely fits that bill. The problem is cost. And that's what everything is at this point. It is a cost-benefit analysis. I always say that, and it's true. Here's the thing about any wide receiver you go after in the transfer portal. And this is the God's honest truth at every single level of football. For a defensive back to be happy, all he has to do is play. That's basically it. Play. If I don't throw in your direction as a quarterback, you as a DB love that. Because you're doing your job. You're doing your job. You get a good coverage grade when other people throw in the opposite direction. The same thing is true for linebacker, defensive line. If you play, you're mostly happy. Now, are there scheme fit things? Sure. Some defensive players fit better in certain schemes. But the bottom line is you just want to play. The same thing is true if you're an offensive lineman. Yes, schemes are different. Playing in Army's offense is different than playing in Washington State's offense and so on and so on. But you just want to play. Tight end is kind of the same thing. You just want to play. Quarterback, you mostly want to play. Running back, you would like to get carries, but you mostly want to play. But wide receiver. This is the hardest thing when it comes to wide receiver, is there are two different hurdles you have to clear with making a wide receiver happy. The first thing is them getting a chance to play. And the second thing is targets. So for a wide receiver to be happy, you've got to play and you've got to be thrown to. What is the one position this past year in the transfer portal that has been the most entered position out of any position in the portal? It's wide receiver. We have seen multiple players quit college football playoff teams. And they were playing, but they weren't getting targets. Indiana's number one receiver got slightly phased out, quit on the team. They're in the middle of the most historic season in their program's history since the Corso years, quit the team. Texas, five-star receiver, Jonte Cook, quit on the team. Just flat out quit, spat on the face, and his red shirt was already burned. So he was selfish. He said, look, I'm quitting. We saw Deontay Johnson for the Baltimore Ravens today quit on the team. They suspended him for a game because he didn't want to play because of his usage or whatever. I don't know the full story. So there's two hurdles you have to clear as a wide receiver. So I will tell you, part of CJ Daniels' decision to enter the portal, it's not just money with them. Why do you think I kept bringing up usage? Did he catch a lot of balls? Yes, he was the first out-of-state wide receiver to catch over 40 passes at LSU. He caught 42. First one since Terrence Tolliver. So think about all the great wide receivers. First one in over a decade. Being out-of-state receiver to catch over 40. Still wasn't happy fully with his usage. Part of it is him wanting to potentially play with this quarterback. But part of it was, you know, not catching a touchdown. Lots of bad luck in that department. Usage matters for wide receivers. So, Shelton Sampson, very talented player, didn't play. Nor should he have played. He didn't do anything when he was out there. We targeted him. He didn't make plays. He dropped. Wasn't a great blocker. Out the door you go. I mean, it's just how it is. Now, could he have turned into something? Yeah, I had a really good high school grade on him. Really good. But it just didn't work out. There's more to it than just that. So the bottom line is I just want this to be crystal clear. When you go hunting for wide receivers, number one, you don't need to overpay. And number two, you've got to find guys that you think will be happy with their role in this offense. This is LSU. This is the premier destination to be a wide receiver. The NFL statistics bear that out. Okay? You've got to find guys that want to buy into their role. Now, Shelton Sampson being gone sucks. I would have liked to have seen him develop for another year. But you have got to be careful with practice reports and practice footage. Because, look, I've heard behind closed doors instances where Shelton Sampson dominated practice. I've also seen amazing practice catches from when the media can be able to film. His route running in high school was mostly great. A lot of the different things he did in high school were mostly great. Didn't pan out. Okay? Didn't pan out. Kylan Jackson's another guy that we'll talk about. Tough year for him. Some of his issues were the staff not feeling he was up to snuff off the field when it comes to knowing everything you need to know to play safety at this level. Because athletically, he clears all the safeties we played this season. Clears them. He is a phenomenal talent. But now he's out. I think I'm disappointed of the three of him more than anyone else. And then Jordan Allen was a great story. You know, he's really close with LaTerrence Welch, who transferred out before the season. Worked his way up the depth chart. They gave him a single-digit number before last season. And he got hurt early this year. Had a really good game as a starting safety versus USC. But then after that, his play just tailed off and was just phased out. So I wish him nothing but the best. Good Tiger through and through, but it is what it is. Now, here's the most shocking thing about today. And we did a Patreon podcast on this a few months ago. So our patrons have already heard this. So if you want to skip ahead and you're one of our PHL patrons, go right on ahead. But since we are live, I will go through this and get to as many questions as we possibly can. All right. One area where I will defend Brian Kelly, and I will partially defend the end of the Orgeron tenure, is they have gotten really unlucky in one aspect, which is blue chip ratio failure. I cannot state enough how wild it is that LSU has had a lot of top 150 guys just not pan out. And it's not just that they didn't pan out at LSU. They have not panned out at their second stop. Now, some of them have, right? A guy like Corey Kiner, a guy like, obviously, Dwight McLaughlin, who's in the NFL, a guy like Lane Jackson. All right, there have been some that didn't do anything at LSU, but moved on to the next stop, and they're pretty good football players. But most of them were just duds. Now, I have a lot of theories as to why that's the case. Some of it is a rotating door of assistants. Some of it, and I think this is a bigger thing. Let's take someone like LeTerrence Welch, who his final season at of high school ball, he had a very bad injury, and he just didn't have the juice anymore. He was not the same player like he was, and most would tell you that. I mean, the dude was a lightning bolt in high school, got really hurt really bad, and wasn't the same player. But it's a problem. Now, I'll also tell you that there are quite a few blue chip guys that haven't worked out at other schools. I think there are a lot of different factors at play. The one is the COVID year has really hurt college football. Because part of what has stunted these younger players' development is year five and year six guys eating up all the snaps and the practice reps. I really do think that's played a huge role in the lack of development of a lot of guys that are not panning out. Okay? It's one explanation. But the real explanation as to why the 2023 LSU class has been mostly not great is pretty simple. It's just bad luck. It's just bad luck. There is really hardly any data out there that supports that one school is infinitely better at developing than another school, right? Are there some difference makers? Yeah. Like, obviously, Bo Davis is a true difference maker that currently on LSU staff. And, you know, Nick Saban. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have slightly better NFL draft rates or whatever. But I you can go through, and I've done this. You know, I mean, I've done this on Patreon. I've talked about it plenty of times on here. Man, you would be shocked at how little top 100, top 125 type of players at least did something during their tenure at LSU. From roughly, honestly, since the beginning of the 247 era, from like year 2000 to all the way up to 2017-ish, LSU had a higher than normal blue chip hit rate. A lot of guys panned out, or at the very least were role players. So let's take someone like a Craig Lawson, right? It was a five-star recruit, for those that don't know, a top 10 national recruit. And he was not special, but at least he was good. He was a starting safety. He would have been the best safety in our backfield, for those that don't know. The problem that LSU has really had is guys giving them nothing, absolutely positively nothing. And it's been an issue. Some of it is portal. I do think one thing that hurts players more than what people would like to admit is crippling indecisiveness. All right. Now that you know you can enter this portal and transfer as many times as you want, your indecisiveness can really cripple you. How do I know this? Because when I was at LSU, I lived in an apartment complex called West Campus Apartments. So that's where a lot of athletes lived. And I spoke to some of them, and there was a four-star defensive back who was at LSU and didn't really do a whole lot. And he shared a story about how difficult it was for him to be at LSU because he really struggled trying to figure out where he was going to go. But back then, you just had to work it out because you didn't have the portal. But now with the portal, it's always in the back of your head. Man, not only could I have gone somewhere else, maybe that other place will give me more money, a better jersey number, better playing time. There's a lot of different things that floats into a player's mindset. And I think that stunts player development as well. I spoke to one staffer at another SEC school today about that. And he said that there are players that, you know, they could see the confidence in them not really wanting to be there is there. Okay, now he's on the younger side, but is it so he wasn't around like back in the era I was talking about? But it's tough. It's tough. All right. But no matter what excuse you could make, goodness gracious, it was tough to take a look at this 2023 recruiting class today. Okay. We have one superstar in that class that has been produced, and that was Whit Weeks. That's it. That's it. Are there other good players? Yeah, Ashton Stamps, I would consider to be a solid SEC-level player. I would prefer him to be my corner number three, but I'm fine with him as a starting corner. He had one atrocious game, and then after that, we helped him out a little bit more towards the end of the year. And then a guy like Tyree Adams is someone I'm really high on. He really fought it out for us. Paul Mabenga is obviously someone trending in the right direction. DJ Chester, it's just hard for me to look at you with a straight face and say that's an SEC-level center. He's probably better served at guard or maybe tackle, whatever the case may be. So there's some other guys in that class that have done something. But, you know, it's just not been good. It's just not been good. It's hard to win that way. Especially when last year, the mindset going into this last season was we're going to focus and develop on our high school players. Well, we did that and it backfired. Okay? It backfired. So that's not necessarily criticism. I understood the logic. But when I tell you how random it is that so many of these guys did not pan out. Y'all, the hit rates have drastically gone down. Like, Brian Kelly and those guys aren't bad coaches. They're just not. And I'll be honest, the blue chip ratios of some of the guys started failing during the end of the Orgeron tenure. There was a lot of those kind of guys, right, that just didn't pan out. Like, they did nothing. Right? I mean, what was the first name of the defensive back? I'm slipping right now. The Davis kid that transferred to Pitt from Pennsylvania. The number 50 overall recruit, a safety. Bulletproof prospect. I mean, he looked really good. Did nothing. Transferred to Pitt, closer to home. Did nothing. We're moving him to running back. Did nothing. I mean, there's so many of these guys. Okay? So many of these guys. PJ Woodland is very good. Okay. It was Derek Davis. So I'm telling you, at some point, it's going to start trending back in the right direction. And I think some of it actually changed last year. You saw some really good true freshman players. Obviously, one superstar in Caden Durham, but I think there's a few of the 2024s that could reach superstardom. It would be nice for a guy like Weston Davis to be a starter next year, a top 100 offensive lineman. Okay? So, you know, I this is not me saying anything anti-LSU. It's actually the opposite. At some point, it's going to change. All right? These recruiting services have gotten better. They've gotten better. At some point, it's going to change. Okay? Let's go to first super chat. So with the names you just said, are you thinking we portal a center and not guards? All right. Really good question. So let's take a team that has a good shot of making the playoff, Alabama. Okay? Parker Brailsford is their center, and they transferred him in from Washington. That wasn't a natural transfer, though, because obviously he was with the previous regime. Okay, he came over from Washington with Kalen DeBoer. Y'all, there's just not that many centers in the portal. It's really hard to get good offensive linemen in the portal, period. It's just hard. It's really freaking hard. So, what do you do? What do you do about it? Is there anything we could do about it in terms of finding someone else to play center? Yeah, you could try different guys on your team. I would cross-train at least four guys at center. Okay. Because I will tell you, I mean, I've watched other SEC teams play. I just happen to really watch teams that do have really good centers. Addison Nichols at Arkansas, Cooper Mays at Tennessee are two teams I cover. I've done a few Alabama film studies. The guy whose name slips my mind at Georgia, who stepped in for Cedric Van Pran Granger, has also been good. All right. DJ Chester was the lowest graded SEC center. Okay. Now, there are multiple offensive lines that had multiple offensive linemen that had grades as low as DJ Chester, but no centers really at all in the SEC. So we can do better and we need to do better. Let's go to Chance. He says, Kamarion Pipkin's been an okay player from 2023. True, but would you say he's a superstar? He obviously had his best game versus Oklahoma. But let me ask you this, Chance, and this will be a question straight up, because I'm telling you right now, if I were to say, if someone were to come to me and say, Carter, who was the best LSU football player in 2023, or excuse me, in 2024, I would probably tell you Mason Taylor. That's who I would say was the best player on this team. I think he was the most consistent. I think he was by far the most clutch, by far the most durable. Now, obviously, Will Campbell was the best talent on our offense last year. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. But, you know, if I were to rank the best LSU football players, Mason Taylor would be number one. And the number two would probably be Swinson. Okay. And they're both going to be gone. So, and Will Campbell's going to be gone. So, this question is for every one of you. Is Kamarion Pipkin good enough to replace Mason Taylor? Answer that question right now. Is Kamarion Pipkin a one-for-one trade for Mason Taylor? Just let me know. Type Y for yes, type N for no. Now, I'm not saying he could be as good as Mason Taylor. It's probably not going to happen. All right, how many tight ends at college football were better than Mason Taylor this year? Colston Loveland, maybe Gunnar Helm at Texas. The Fannin guy at Bowling Green's the best receiving tight end. No one's close to him. So let me ask you this. Do you believe Kamarion Pipkin can be an every down tight end? All right. And have like a PFF grade of 65, which is like above replacement level player. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? The one thing that is very underrated about Mason isn't that he was good. He was good. It wasn't that he was clutch. He was clutch. But I cannot stress enough that man's endurance. Okay? And I'm about to share something that is about to rattle your freaking soul. And it's something I'm working on that I will release next week. All right? One Mason Taylor stat that is going to make, you know, that blow your mind emoji. Okay? And it's not anything basic like catches, because you know we know he has all the records. Okay, that's coming up after this.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check it. Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Alrighty, so you're taking a look at the PFF number of raw snaps. Okay, so Mason Taylor, all right, played 862 snaps. 862 snaps. The average SEC team. Now, once again, all SEC teams have played the same amount of games. All right. Every team up to this point has played 12 games exactly. There is no other SEC team that's played as many plays or even come close to the top guys at LSU. Now, why is that? Well, we had a lot of long drive games, we had a lot of non-explosive plays. We had a lot of third and fourth down conversions, so our play count's going to be a little bit higher. Our offense overall was efficient, so because we didn't have as many explosive plays, you're in theory, with a good offense, you're just going to play more plays. Now, I want you to see this. Mason Taylor played 862 snaps. The next highest non-offensive lineman, because we know offensive linemen don't leave the field, or quarterbacks really, was 716 from Kyren Lacy. So Mason Taylor, the next highest receiver on this team when it comes to snap counts, played 150 snaps less than Mason Taylor did. Aaron Anderson, 544 snaps. He played 300 snaps less than Mason Taylor. CJ Daniels, 600 snaps. 250 snaps less than Mason Taylor. Okay. Y'all, it's insane endurance. I don't know what else to tell you. By the way, some snaps, he's blocking 250-pound to 230-million-pound defensive ends. Other snaps, he's running verticals. You watch all of our film studies, right? How many times did you see LSU run switch verticals? To no avail. We did it a lot. We ran a lot of verticals. Mason Taylor ran a lot of outs, had a bunch of crazy fourth down conversions, and he played his best in the fourth quarter. What the hell? This dude is so good. All right? Like, I don't think people realize how difficult that is. And I'm telling you right now, we played a grand total of 84 snaps. So Mason Taylor, at a position that does rotate in and out pretty frequently, played 862 of the 884 snaps. So he wasn't just a receiver. He literally played like he was an offensive lineman. We never took him off the field, which is a blessing and a curse. He's really that freaking good. And then the second thing is, it shows us lacking some formational diversity. I don't like playing a tight end every snap. It's just too exhausting of a position. But it gets even crazier than that, ladies and gentlemen. It gets even crazier than that. All right? Mason Taylor really only missed one game, Mississippi State, still dressed his ass out. One thing LSU does a lot of is what? Pre-snap motion, okay? So it's not just blocking reps. It's not just running out a full route tree, which is what he did. He ran digs, curls, verticals, all those things. It's also pre-snap motion here, pre-snap motion here, sometimes a return motion, and then you got to block, and then you got to receive. So it's a bunch of small sprints as well, okay? Now, I like to run long distances, all right? I'm fat and chubby. I need to get my ass back out there running. I can run 3 miles easy without stopping. But one thing I can't do is start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. Mason Taylor was doing this on a football field a lot of times before the snap. At least 3 to 5 times a game. So we're not just losing a tight end. We're losing an Iron Man. We're losing Cal Ripken Jr. okay, at a position that rotates more than how we rotated our tight end, okay? The dude was a freaking monster. So if you think Kamariam Pinton can do that, yeah, he can. He is a better receiver than Mason Taylor. I think nobody would disagree with that. He has a higher catch radius. Overall, athletically, he's probably more gifted. But can he block every rep like Mason Taylor? Maybe he can, maybe he can't. But holy hell, this season was incredible. Fourth down catches to win the game versus Ole Miss and to keep us in the game versus Florida. I mean, it's just crazy. The blocking game versus Oklahoma. Insane. Absolutely insane. JP. What's good, brother? It's insane. It's insane. Yes, so Tony was the winner of the Jamar Chase card. Congratulations, Tony. I kind of want to give one out today as well. I know it's kind of a weird period to be an LSU football fan. So, let's see. All right, here. Let's give out a Drew Brees card. Why not? Next $20 super gets a Drew Brees card in the mail. Or if we get $50 in total super chats, I'll give it out. Okay. Okay. Let's go to this. Oh, Aaron Anderson. Okay. Okay, good. So Aaron Anderson made it official on Wednesday. I didn't see the social media account, Instagram post. So good. Now, is he a number one option? I would say he's probably like a 1A, 1B kind of guy. He's not like your outside X. You do need to go out and get some other receivers and keep him in that same role that he played this year. I will also say his snap count can't be as low as it was this year. Okay. Let's go to Bo Nose. He says, I like Mason, but let's not act like he was blocking because there was a few games where he struggled blocking. Yeah, okay. You are right. He had the best run blocking grade in the SEC last year of all tight ends. This year, it fell off. But y'all saw, I showed you the snap counts. If you have a PFF subscription, go look at the snap count yourself. It is ridiculous how many more snaps LSU played than even Alabama. It's about every one of our top six guys played about roughly 150 more snaps than anybody at Alabama. It's hard to block when you are exhausted as hell. Okay. Pimpton ain't easy. I think he can step up big. I think he can too. Everybody welcome JP Ratcliffe to the air. This is actually one of my high school teammates. It is weird. I can't get over the, and when we talked about it briefly, Mason Smith, who is a friend of the channel. Well, his family is. I think I've met Mason once. Jakeem Thano Stewart. If it is true, he got the $2 million. I know for sure that's what he was being offered. Make it more than Mason Smith. It's weird. Jay Smacks, Carter, don't you think some of these players would just have fake love for the school? It's just about the money now. Most will not have that passion and drive, you know? Yeah. I mean, show me the money. It's just how it is. I mean, I understand, like, there's some that would say, well, it's always been like this, and everybody has always been paid under the table. Kind of true, kind of not true. Okay? But now that it's just openly discussed, there are a lot more players, and it could just be social media, but there are a lot more players that make direct business decisions and will lie straight to a coach's face because coaches do it to players too. Okay. Love for the school. I mean, come on. You'll go to the highest bidder. I will say it again, and I hope I don't lose any subscribers for this, but if someone came up to me and said, hey, you got to uproot your family to Big Ten country and cover only the Minnesota Golden Gophers. You are not allowed to talk about any college football team other than the Minnesota Golden Gophers. I am rowing my boat, if the price is right, up to Minnesota. I will press PJ Flex sweater up in Minnesota. I will freeze my booty hole off in Minnesota if the price is right. Everybody's got a price. Everybody. The most lovable human being alive today. The most lovable human. Based on one viral clip of sharing how she loves to give Pookie sloppy toppy. The hot Tua girl.
Carter.
What? What? Why would you startle me like that?
Don't say that word on me.
I just said sloppy toppy. Everybody knows what that is. Anyway, she decided to throw all of her goodwill down the toilet because of some Dodge coin, meme coin thing. She has millions, millions. Millions, all 15 seconds of fame. She'll throw it all away. She'll throw it all away. Because she had to make a buck off of meme coin. People will sell out every time you give them the opportunity. And there are some who could take strong stances. But those some have millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. Okay. Taylor Swift took a stance against crypto. Rihanna didn't perform the Super Bowl for many years for reasons, okay? But they sit on a throne of millions upon millions of dollars. Not as many people are noble, okay? Good example today, all right? Because I do get this message a lot. Carter, we need to go find guys that really love LSU. And you're right about that, okay? There's guys like Harlan Berry who really want to make it happen at LSU. Where the history to them, it means a lot to them. I still can't believe the hot Tua girl just threw all her crap. For those that don't know, she shilled a coin, crypto coin, and pulled the rug out under from her investors, basically. Okay. It's a different world, man. College football, the view of how players view college football has changed. I really do believe it. And it's not, it was better in the good old days kind of stuff. And it's not the point. It's just players understand their value. Like, I cannot state this enough. All right, imagine if you're a 16 or 17-year-old kid. And every single day, 10 years ago, you can check to see if your recruiting ranking has gone up or gone down. You could do it, and kids look at that stuff. They do. But now, the number one site in the minds of many is On3. I like them all. I like Rivals, even though I had beef with somebody from Rivals on the SEC channel before the season. I like Rivals a lot. Grew up on Rivals. I like On3. I like 247. I obviously love ESPN. I love all the four major services, okay? But now you can go to On3, and as a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid, there is a monetary number attached to your name, and it's in the six-figure range. So immediately, kids at this age are now viewing college football through the lens of purely as a business. Or more so as a business than what they used to. And I'll say it again. One of the best players in college football loves LSU. I know he loves LSU. He loves LSU more than most of us love LSU. And he wore purple with so much pride this year. Put his ass on the line each and every week. And it's also been on this channel. But here's the catch. He didn't play at LSU this past season. He played for a different school, and his name is Jack Besh. Just because you love LSU doesn't mean it's the right fit for you, and vice versa. Okay? This idea that, you know, every single person we're going to have is just loves LSU. Yeah, I would like to think that. It's noble in theory, but it also has to make sense for the player. And it also has to make sense for everyone involved. And look, I still have a good relationship with the Beshes. I've not talked to Jack in forever. And honestly, if I was in his shoes, I would have stuck it out. Talent wins out in the end, but I understood why he transferred. But honestly, it's hard to gauge if somebody's going to love LSU because so much of who you are as a player is your situation. Okay? Yeah, Jace Max, you're right. I just feel like 17 and 19-year-olds don't understand what that money means. Guess what? When I was, 27, I had a lot of money. I did. When I was 27, I had a lot of money. Or relatively good amount of money. And, you know, I don't think I did anything frivolous. I don't think I did anything crazy. Inflation caught up. A lot of things changed in my life. I don't have that money anymore. I invested it all in this channel. And lucky enough, I've had success. I've invested some into my DJ business. But I'm not sitting on that same amount of money. I'm not. So at 25, and when I was 25, 20, I wish I would have just started a different business. But nobody has good business acumen. Nobody. Sure, I would love to go to each and every one of those kids and say, hey, put that money into a Roth IRA. I would love to. But guess what? When I was 25, 26, I put money in a Roth IRA, didn't do shit. I shouldn't curse on the midweeks, okay? But, you know, I had opportunities of putting in other businesses. I wish I would have done that. But I didn't know. I thought it was going to be Stuart Scott by now and have gazillions of dollars. But I think that will happen, hopefully, in the next few years. Okay? But, yes, a lot of these kids do not know what the money means. I agree. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't deserve it. Okay. It doesn't. And I hope nobody was offended that I said sloppy toppy. I don't think that's anything crazy. But obviously, as many of you know, I'm a pro Kamarion Pimpton guy. He's obviously ridiculously talented. And the Oklahoma game was indeed very good. One very difficult catch, another where he was wide open, but ran the play really well. So there you go. Tops are not good cards anymore. What are you talking about? I got a Tops PSA 10 Jaden Daniels card right here. Tops now. I kind of want to give this out. Why not? It's about a $70 card. But I just got it. A viewer actually sent it. I know, Pierce. The Zachary. Maybe. Pi Mayo, welcome to the channel. Any bold predictions? Okay. I can confirm that breaking news via sources. So I'm lucky enough to know quite a few people on bold committees. Now, why is that? Well, you know, when I would sit in college football press boxes, they would put me on like the second or third row, right? I wasn't on the upper hierarchy. Now it's sit next to a bunch of NFL scouts, and I would sit next to a bunch of bowl executives. Okay. And I'm still in contact with some of those people. All right. One bowl I know that is very interested in LSU is the Taxslayer Bowl in Jacksonville. Okay. So who that would be against, I don't know. But could that be SEC and Big Ten? You know, one team that would fit really nicely with LSU in a bowl game, and it's one team I don't recall us playing that is a legendary college football brand, is Michigan. Okay, so my bowl prediction, LSU versus Michigan. Okay. William, thank you for the super chat. I really appreciate it. We got to give out a Drew Brees card. Let's see here. We got to give out a Drew Brees card. Colorado, LSU and Colorado, that'd be sexy. Now, let's do a trivia question. Drew Brees trivia question. Let's do it. Drew Brees' best statistical game was only the second time of the modern era that a quarterback averaged north of 16 yards per pass attempt, minimum 20 attempts. All right. It's a rare accomplishment. Okay. What game was that where Drew Brees legendarily averaged 16 yards per pass attempt? Only one other quarterback has done that since 2000. Only one other quarterback. And that was Lamar Jackson versus Miami Dolphins. And this was Lamar way back when, season opener versus Miami. Okay. Tell me which game that was. To this day, I still think it's the best regular season quarterback performance in NFL history. God, dog. Look, somebody already got it. I thought it would be tougher. It's a game that I attended with my father. And Colin is correct. It was the New England Patriots. Congrats, Colin. You are the winner of the Drew Brees card. So, that's how great Drew Brees was. Not only was it against the New England Patriots, that was prime Belichick. He did that against. That was Randy Moss, Tom Brady, Monday Night Football. So, Colin, all you got to do, send me a message on Twitter or Instagram at PowerHourLSU, or you can email me, PowerHourLSU@gmail.com. I would love to get Drew Brees on this channel. That'd be fun. Okay. Now, one story I think that is very relevant in the SEC. It's actually quite a few. We normally get into different SEC topics here. So, at Arkansas, Sam Pittman had a player tell him, hey, if you let me redshirt this year, I'm coming back next year. And Sam Pittman publicly said this. And the player was a starting guard, a solid player, Patrick Kustas. And he lied to him. He entered the portal today. So Sam Pittman preserved this young man's redshirt, and he decided to hit the portal. Okay? So this is something that has hamstrung LSU, and it's hamstrung a lot of different programs. I have a bunch of different opinions on the four-game and under redshirt rule, including you can't do it past the second year of your career. I would heavily consider programs to push back against playing young players unless you absolutely need to. All right. I would heavily, heavily, heavily consider that, because you don't want to be in this weird redshirt area with players potentially quitting on your team. But I do think this problem is made so much worse by the COVID year. I cannot wait till the year is 2027 and we don't have to worry about COVID year guys anymore. I want to get past it. I think it is insane that those era guys get the benefit of a full extra year of eligibility and then also just happen to hit the lottery of revenue sharing. It's crazy to me. It is crazy to me. No, I don't want to talk about LeBron. And I like LeBron. He's a Liverpool guy. But yes, that was the best NFL game I've ever attended. But God, I hate the COVID years. I hate that so much. I really, really, really do. And my God, this Alan Bowman story. Oklahoma State quarterback granted an eighth year of eligibility. What are we doing? What are we doing? Please, please, please go to Enterprise Rental Car and get a job like the rest of us. Please, please. You should not get an eighth year of eligibility. I'm sorry. I don't care if you play for LSU and as good as Jaden Daniels. You should not get an eighth year of eligibility ever. Okay? Never, ever. And look, we've had some year sevens contribute for us. Don't like it. Don't like it. Year sixes, I can hear out. All right. Now, next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. I do want to dedicate an LSU live stream to an Arkansas writer, and it's not just me. The Alabama writers are doing it. The Tennessee writers are doing it. Every SEC media YouTuber that touched or was touched in their lives, that sounded very poorly worded, pause. But this man, Bob Hold, I'm sure you guys saw it on social media. I was very fortunate to call Bob a friend. Very fortunate. And he is and will be one of the nicest guys I've ever encountered in sports media. So RIP to Bob Holt. This live stream is dedicated to you, my brother. And it reminds me a lot of my somberness around the Ed Daniels passing. So we've lost quite a few legendary SEC media members. So RIP to Bob Holt, and I loved him. Yeah, and there's not a single media member that did not like that guy. So there you go. Carter, do you think Bryce and Jakeem? I don't know. I'm kind of over the Thanos. Who's Manchild? Brody Ray. Which man child? We got a few in this recruiting class. I'm a Brandon Brown believer. Okay. If Brandon Brown has 1 million fans, I'm one of them. If he has 100,000 fans, I'm one of them. If he has 10,000 fans, I am one of them. If he has 100 fans, I am one of them. If he has one fan, I am that guy. I think Brandon Brown's going to be a good player. And he's going to be a good player. God, this live stream has been great. I've gotten to talk about Mason Taylor for a gazillion. Oh, Teron Francis. His nickname is Manchild. I saw Marlon Fayright tweet about him earlier today. I've not started any evaluations on any high school guys yet because I do not want to get burned in this era. Watching a guy and then he's gone. Okay. Now, this is a message to Mason Taylor. The same way Brandon Brown is, that's me. Okay? That's me. But this is unfair. I might be the only guy that would admit this. Okay? Now, Pierce is a longtime viewer. This is his secret love. Okay? Mason, how is it that I get a photo with Joy Taylor, but I don't get a photo with you? Come on, Mason. I even got to spend some time with Jason Taylor. Shout out to Joy, friend of the channel. Always wanted to get her on the channel. Honestly, never really asked. We have a very strong mutual friend. And that's why a few years ago we hung out at the SEC championship game. Loved her on the herd. Shout out to her on Speak. But how is it that I never got a photo with Mason Taylor, but I got a photo with Joy Taylor? Now, I'll say of the 251 of you that are currently watching, there's 251 of you that would probably rather have the photo with Joy Taylor than Mason Taylor. Not me. Not me. Mason, I got to get my photo, bro. Got to get my photo. All right. A lot of you are probably, are you serious? You would prefer to have a photo with another dude instead of Joy Taylor, one of the most beautiful women on the planet? Joy Taylor is very beautiful. Oh, Colin, thanks for sending me your email. I need your address. No, don't. I'm not going to share your address with everybody. That'd be kind of weird. Brody. Okay. Brody, I love you, man. You're new to the channel. You got the Leonard Fournette Jaguars jersey, so that means I know you're a super fan. But we can't just come in here saying they're talking crazy. And Teron Francis is Jamar Chase 2.0. Come on. Come on, Brody. Come on. You look younger. Let's not get carried away here. Now, is he? Do I think he's good? Yeah. Do I think he can be good? Yeah. But Jamar Chase? You're talking about the Biletnikoff winner? You're talking about the guy that went for 9-221 and multiple tutties versus Clemson in the national championship? You're talking about him? Maybe I need to. Once again, I'll be honest. I've not fully sat down and watched him. I did see him hurdle a guy like early in the season. But Brody, look, here's what I'll do. If I sit and watch Teron Francis, and I legitimately think he's going to be Jamar Chase, I'll send you an autographed LSU card. The likelihood of that happening, though, is very low. Jamar Chase, to this day, is the fastest LSU wide receiver I've ever seen with the football in his hands. His high school tape showed that. I mean, there is a high school clip, high school Jamar Chase, running close to 22 miles per hour. Y'all, it's so freaking fast. A high schooler. Okay. Fitzpatrick, breaking some news here. Shelton, Kylan, and Ricky to FSU. Interesting. I don't know what FSU's plans are. I do want to show some massive love to a man by the name of Mike Norvell. All right. He did probably the dumbest thing I think I've seen a coach do. All right. The first thing is I've seen Florida State fans absolutely trash Alex Atkins. who is a good offensive line coach. I don't care what anyone says. I think he's good. But after one bad season at Florida State, someone's head needed to be severed. But any head coach knows you never fire an assistant before signing day. You never do. It is a nonsensical decision. And the worst one you can do that to is an offensive line coach. Your mistake was our treasure in getting Solomon Thomas. Do I think LSU lands Solomon Thomas if Alex Atkins remains at Florida State? I don't know. I would probably say no. So shout out to you, Mike Norvell, for doing something crazy. I would have heavily advised him not firing Alex Atkins yet. Well, we wanted to be first to the market to get an offensive line coach. Dumb as hell. Dumb as hell. Okay? An offensive lineman's relationship with their offensive line coach is the closest relationship between any one player and their position coach in all of football. Okay? There's been a big debate over Oklahoma's offensive line coach, Bill Bindenbaugh, who's a legendary guy in the coaching industry. And Oklahoma fans have kind of turned on him this year. Y'all, the fans are literally defending the hell out of him. Are torching him. His former players are defending the hell out of him. Okay. No, Colin, thank you for the super. I appreciate it and congrats. I was shocked you knew that. Not many people know about that game. I mean, you know about the game, but you don't understand how historically great that game was. Now, the film did have a lot of guys running wide open, but Drew Brees, 18 to 23, over 300 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks, 16 yards per pass attempt, and 5 touchdowns, no picks to 5 different receivers. I saw a FanDuel tweet out something. Is this era of quarterbacks in the NFL better than the era like 10 years ago? Where it was like a graph of Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow. And for some reason, they put Jared Goff on there. I would have put like Matthew Stafford or somebody else, Jaden Daniels maybe. Is this year of quarterbacks better than like 10 years ago? Whereas Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, they put Andrew Luck on there, Tom Brady. And you got to pry that old era of quarterbacks out of my hands. Okay? That is my adolescence. You have got to pry it from my hands. And the funny thing is I probably like more quarterbacks from this era as a whole than I did in that last era. But if it's Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, you got to pry it from my hands. Oh, so Colin was at the game. Anyone that was there, you have a connection to that game. Like, that was like, obviously it wasn't bigger than the Super Bowl, but, you know, I mean, that was the best coach, the best quarterback, and arguably the best receiver of this era. You blew the brakes off of them. And what was it? Who was the DB, Colin, that the Saints signed that day and he played? Was it Mike McKenzie? Is that right? And he went out there and locked down Randy Moss? Prime Randy Moss? All right, Bevo, who's winning the SEC championship? Yeah, we did a little bit earlier. Am I breaking down the spring game tape? Yes, but like I said, I mean, you guys still watch, so that's why, you know, a big reason why I do it. But, you know, I think it is, if I had to choose between someone having a really good spring, a breakout spring in our current system versus a proven Power Four transfer that can't get here until the fall, I'm taking the proven Power Four transfer every single time. That's how much game reps matter more than practice reps. It is seismic, the difference. Seismic. And if I was a college football coach, I am heavily, heavily reconsidering every last little thing I do in practice. Okay? Heavily. I just got a text from Jeff Landry, one of those like political mass texts. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. Don't do that. Please. Go hang out with Omar. My guy Preston Guy is getting heat. I thought this was just stupid, but like people, not stupid, but like just funny, like a dad joke. This is so funny. This is so funny. I just want to read it aloud. Preston Guy, PGuy77, my favorite LSU Twitter follow of all time. LSU is losing a defensive back named Major Burns and replacing him with the one named Pickett. Never has there been an upgrade in the naming department quite like that one.
It is true. It is true.
Okay. It's just true. Okay. LSU women's basketball play Stanford tonight. Yeah, I'll be watching. All right. And you guys have all been vocal about this. The women's non-conference can be tough. They need to play the elite programs, and tonight we're doing it. Stanford's what, a top five women's program of the past two decades? How many are you putting above them? UConn, and that's it, probably. I would say Tennessee, but I mean, they've never been the same without Pat Summitt. And maybe Notre Dame. So I would say only UConn ahead of Stanford. It's big. It's big. Let's go. I knew BT brings up 2009 Drew Brees quite often. Yeah, Stanford's coach. Yeah, she did retire. I wish she was on the other sideline tonight. That'd be cool. Kim Mulkey and Tara Vanderveer. That'd be awesome. All right, y'all. That'll just about do it for me. Bill Belichick has been interviewed for the North Carolina job. All right, y'all.
Adams! Power Hour. LSU. Boom!
Shout out to all our partners. The Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth. We also want to shout out our friends at NOPOD. For any home improvement needs, just Google NOPOD in Louisiana. Never overpromise, always over deliver. And tonight we are doing steaks. Let's go.